what a wonderful privilege we have to pray. He said, enter in his presence with thanksgiving into his courts with praise. We can come boldly, according to the book of Hebrews. We're invited to come boldly in this presence through the rent veil of the flesh of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this month, we've been challenging all of us to pray more, just to get in fellowship with him. The experience of prayer is the great reward beyond the answers to those prayers, but being in his presence. And encourage you, if you've not looked at the prayer chart back there, the 24-hour prayer time, 30-minute segments. You don't have to pray the whole 30 minutes, but sometime in that segment. And I hadn't looked at it now the last day or so. We had a few slots open, and surprisingly, some of them were in the middle of the afternoon. But if you have a chance to sign up, I sure would appreciate you doing that. But I want to challenge you to pray. Just get along with the Lord. You don't have to pray. You get to pray, like Brother Tim preached about one time. I'm glad we just have that privilege of prayer. I want to preach to you just real briefly this morning on what I consider to be the greatest prayer in the Bible. Now, that's saying something, because there's so many, and I think I was looking through some stuff last week. I believe something like 650 recorded prayers in the Bible. And you think about the great prayers of Elijah that he prayed and didn't rain. And Moses at the Red Sea, and then at the Jordan River, and for Joshua, and then the other great prayers, Elijah's, all of his great prayers, and the great prayers of Samuel in the Old Testament. Then when you come to the New Testament, the great prayers of the apostles, and particularly our Lord, where he prayed and blind eyes were opened, or where he prayed and Lazarus came out of the grave, where he prayed and fed 5,000 with two fish and five little loaves of bread, and where he prayed in the garden and said, "Not my will, but thine be done." And how could you decide on what's the greatest prayer? Well, there's so many, and all prayer is great. But I want to share with you, and you'd say, "Brother Billy, this is not even a prayer. It's a parable." It is a parable, but I believe it has emphasis on prayer. And you'll understand what I'm talking about. In Luke chapter 18, I want you to look with me at verse number 9 of Luke 18. Our Lord is talking with, and he's already given one scenario, and the reason for that parable was that men ought always to pray and not to faint. And when we come to this particular passage of Scripture that I'm going to read to you this morning, there's another reason. I want to read verse 9. "And he spake a parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others." You see, sometimes you and I decide that our prayer power is dependent on our righteousness. I am sure glad that he hears and answers our prayer. I do know that there are things in our lives sometimes that can hinder prayer. But I want you to understand that when you pray, you're approaching a God who loves to bless you. You're approaching a God who wants to meet your need. You're approaching a God, as Timothy said, who would have all men to be saved. And when you approach him, you're not approaching him on your own merit, but on the merit of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so in this prayer, as our Lord gives this parable, I consider this to be one of the greatest prayers in the New Testament. Notice what he said, verse 10. "Two men went up to the temple to pray, and one a Pharisee and the other a publican. And the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, 'God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, and I give tithes of all that I possess.'" That's not the prayer I was talking about. Here's the prayer I'm talking about. "And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, 'God, be merciful to me, a sinner.' I tell you, this man went down to his house justified justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. I call your attention to the wording of this prayer that I would say is one of the greatest, or maybe the greatest in my estimation, in the New Testament. Last few verses, phrase, last words in verse 13. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Will you bow with me for prayer? Father, I want to thank you this morning. Lord, my heart's been blessed by the Spirit of God that's in this place. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for being able to greet friends and rejoice. And God, sense a joy of folk coming into the house of God this morning. Thank you for the great singing of the choir, and Brother Brad leading us in congregational singing. And thank you, Lord Jesus, for the young people, the children who sang this morning, for the workers there with them. Thank you, Lord, for blessing so Cabot and Miss Brenda this morning. And God, I pray now the Holy Ghost of God in these brief moments, God will speak to our hearts in a very special way. And I'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ said of the Pharisees, they like to be known for their long prayers. Vain repetition, a lot of it is. Doesn't have any meaning to it. And here he demonstrates that in this prayer and this little story. Pharisees and publicans are gathered, as well as other people. And our Lord is trying to teach them something about prayer life, but also about our approach to God and how we see ourselves in light of Him. This passage of Scripture that I read to you, this prayer, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. The Pharisee, I like the way the Holy Ghost of God phrases this in verse 11. And he said, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. I love that. He's just talking to himself, everybody around. The other fellow's talking to the Lord, and he's approaching God. But notice, if you will, that the prayer of the Pharisee here has 34 words in it. And the prayer that I consider to be the greatest prayer in the New Testament has only 7 words. 7 words. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And 7 in the Bible is the number of perfection. Here's a perfect prayer for a person to approach the Lord that's not saved particularly. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That prayer is simple and it's short, but it's straight to the point. I want to just share with you about 4 things about this prayer that spoke to my heart, God spoke to my heart about. I want you in the first place to notice that this prayer, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I would have you to note the humility of that prayer. And the humility of that prayer, if you look at the passage of Scripture and the context there, you can realize it in about 3 different ways. One is his position. The Bible said that the Pharisee who prayed that long prayer stood thus with himself. But it says of this publican that God answered his prayer and said he went down to the house justified. He said he was standing afar off. He was not arrogant. He was not boastful. He is approaching before him. And here's the humility in that he stands afar off. He doesn't feel worthy to approach right into the very presence of God like this other man did. You and I are encouraged in the book of Hebrews to come boldly through the throne of grace, through the rent veil of Christ, his flesh. But here this man demonstrates great humility in the position where he stood, but then also in the posture that he had. Notice what it says about him. And he said he would not lift up so much as his eyes, but he smote upon his breast. Here is that posture that I'm talking about. He wouldn't lift up his eyes toward heaven. He comes in humility before the Lord, and he smites himself upon his breast, a sense of humility and brokenheartedness, and he's approaching the Lord in just that way. As he approaches the Lord, he approaches him humbly to that. But then also in his petition, I see his humility. He is asking for mercy. Mercy is given to those who are guilty and who will acknowledge their sin. And he's acknowledging the fact he's coming humbly as a sinner. So I note, first of all, the humility in this prayer. But I want you to note something else. I want you to notice the honesty in this prayer. I remember Dr. R.G. Lee said one time, God always answers the prayer of an honest man. God always answers the prayer of an honest man. And you know, sometimes we pray and say, Lord, you know how much I love you. Well, he really does, but most of the time we don't love him as much as we think we do. Yeah, God always answers the prayer of an honest man. And here this man, I note in this simple prayer, I notice his honesty. He said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He comes honestly before the Lord. He acknowledges that. Several years ago, I was reading about the life and ministry of D.O. Moody. D.O. Moody was in a certain city, and God was saving people coming forward in the altar. And this very nice dressed lady came forward and came to Mr. Moody and said, Mr. Moody, I would like to be saved. I would like to go to heaven. He said, well, ma'am, let's be by here in the altar. And so they knelt down, and he began to pray. And he said, God, I want you to save this wicked sinner. God, I pray you'd forgive her of all of her sin. And she stopped him. And she said, Mr. Moody said, that's not me. I'm not a wicked sinner. I'm not like that. And he stopped his prayer and he looked at her and he said, ma'am, would you return to your seat and come back when you become a wicked sinner? Jesus only saves sinners. Here's a man who comes to the Lord and he's honest. And he said, God, I'm a sinner. And I tell you, you can fool everybody you want to, but you can't fool him. Best thing to do is just come to him honestly. I love the prayer of that man in the New Testament when the Lord said all things possible to him that believe, and he broke and wept, and he said, God, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. He even acknowledges unbelief. But I'm telling you, we've got a God who's tenderhearted, long-suffering, and cares for us. And if you'll come to him honestly, he'll answer your prayers, humility, and honesty. But I want you to notice the hopefulness of this prayer. While he's coming humbly and he's coming honestly, he's coming with great hope, because of the approach he has. And he says this, first of all, he starts off his prayer and he says this, God, oh listen, he's approaching God. He's not like this other fellow standing. The fellow used the name God, but the Lord was quick to point out the fact that he prayed thus with himself. This man's approaching a holy God, and he realizes that his only help is in the Lord. He knows he's got great hope and confidence that God can do something for him. Only God can forgive sin. Only God can make us brand new. Only God can change our lives. And so he approaches him that way. And he comes, and he comes with great hopefulness, because he's coming to somebody who can take care of the need he's got. I'm glad, my dear friend, he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we're able to ask or think. And he comes hopefully. But now notice something else. He said in this passage of Scripture, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And then that word mercy, if you happen to have a Schofield Bible, he makes great reference to it. It's more than just saying the mercy of God. He is that word in the Hebrew has reference to something else. Will you look with me, please, quickly over in the book of Hebrews this morning, chapter number 9. In Hebrews chapter 9, or either just listen as I read to us this morning. He said this, verse number 11, but Christ being come and high priest of good things to come, by greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he hath entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of heifer sprinkled the unclean, sanctified and purified of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge our conscience from dead works to serve the true and the living God? Here he says this, this man is approaching the Lord not on his own merit, but he's approaching that word mercy, be merciful to me, a sinner. He's thinking about the tabernacle, and he's thinking about the mercy seat and the blood of those animals that put on there. But he's referencing now the blood of the sacrifice of his dear son. And you and I come to the Lord and we approach him honestly and hopefully because it's in the blood. You come before him. He said, if you ask anything in my Father's name, in my name, I'll do it. My dear friend, my prayer, your prayer is based on one thing, the redemptive work of Christ. I come to him not because of my own merit, not because of who I am. And we don't come because of who we are, but we come because of who Christ is. And we come to him, hopefully. He said, my God shall supply all of your needs by his riches in glory. By Christ Jesus, he can provide everything through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this man's prayer is built on one thing. It's on the merit of the Lord Jesus Christ. I looked up this song. I thought about it while the choir was singing there a while ago. And notice it says, and Brad was quoting the words for us, and then the young people sang about the old rugged cross. I love the hound out of that, don't you? See children singing those songs. I'm glad that they sang the old songs. Amen. But notice what it says here in this wonderful old song. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but I wholly lean on Jesus' name. This man is approaching God humbly. He's approaching him honestly, and he's approaching him hopefully. And his hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. And I'll say to anybody in the media audience in this building, Jesus Christ will save you today, not on your own merit. He'll only save sinners. But he said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This man cried out for mercy, and he's thinking about the mercy seat. Mercy me is what he's saying, just like on that mercy seat where the blood is shed. And he said, my only hope is in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But oh, I quickly share with you not only the humility of this man in this prayer and the honesty of this man in prayer and the hopefulness of this man in prayer, but the happiness of this man in prayer. The Lord Jesus Christ said, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified. Thank the Lord for that. If you've been justified, you know it. I'm telling you right now, I've prayed with so many people and been around people who trusted Christ. So many times they share something like this. When they bear their heart to God, so God, I'm lost and I need to be saved. And they cry out to him. And when I see God work in their life, and then they say something like this, I feel like the weight of the world has gone off of me. I feel like 100 pounds is lifted off of me. When you approach him honestly and humbly and come to him hopefully believing, trusting in his blood, I'm telling you, he'll do something for you, and he'll give you a joy and a peace to know that he's got everything well in hand. Oh, I think about all those in the Bible who trusted Christ and how they rejoiced. And I think about that fellow that he healed, and the Bible said, and leaping and praising God. I'm telling you, when you get justified, you have joy, you have happiness, and he gives you that through what Christ has done and an honest approach to him in prayer. I want to tell you something. This is the greatest prayer in the Bible. Seven words. Has nothing to do with him. I have no plea but the blood. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And the Lord said, and he went down to his house justified, just as if he'd never sinned. I want you to note, probably everything this other fellow said he'd done in regard to tithing and giving and all those other things, this publican probably did the same thing. He's probably a Jew, probably did those same things. But he said, none of that counts. I've got to have mercy, and I'm trusting simply the blood. Will you bow your heads in prayer this morning? I shared just a simple word with you this morning. As I was praying, I feel so dumb sometimes. I was praying last night. I was looking through things, and God laid this on my heart sometime earlier. And I got to looking, and I said, Lord, I need to do something different on Sunday morning. I need to share something different. And I got to looking, and it just kept speaking to my heart. And I said to him, this morning even, I was praying, and I said, Lord, I said, that's so very simple this morning. And then God just rebuked me. He can rebuke us in just such a loving way. And he kind of broke my heart. And he said, I'm the one who said that. I'm the one who gave that parable. That's my pattern for sinners to approach me. Oh, it's the greatest prayer in the Bible, friend. It's not some little simplistic thing. The song the children sang a while ago, we said, that's a little children's song. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Oh, that's a great truth. That's a great song. That might be the greatest song in all the world. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. And this little prayer, I called it a simple prayer. But oh, the Savior gave that prayer. He says that's the way you get things done in prayer. You approach him humbly. You approach him with a great hopeful heart. you approach him honestly, and you'll leave with happiness in your heart. Heavenly Father, I pray now the sweet Holy Ghost of God will speak to the heart of men, women, boys, and girls in the simple truth of this wonderful prayer. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And I'd pray, Father, that somebody in the media audience, somebody in this building who doesn't know Jesus will pray that simple prayer and know that you paid the sin debt for them, that mercy only comes through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, who's already paid our sin debt. Lord, I pray, God, the Holy Ghost to make it real, and they trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord today. God, I ask that you speak to the heart of your people. God, that we would come before you and seek your face and be honest with you, come humbly before you, knowing, God, and with a hopeful heart, to know that our prayers will be answered, not because of who we are, but because of who Jesus is and what he's done for us. Now, God, do a work in hearts. Now, while we're praying, friends, with our eyes closed, we're praying still this morning, just quickly this morning, let me encourage you. If you're here in the building or you're in the internet audience, you've never trusted Christ, it's not the length of your prayer, it's the depth of your prayer that counts, the sincerity of your prayer. God, be merciful to me, a sinner, 7 words, and he went home justified. If you'll trust the Lord Jesus Christ, call on him as your Savior this morning. If you've never been saved, he knows you, he died for you, and he'll save you if you call on him right now. I encourage you to do that. And for the Christians here this morning in the building and in the internet audience, I'd encourage you, my dear friend, listen, I want you to just learn to pray. I love Brother Sammy's statement, and we got them sitting all over the neighborhood. Lord, teach us to pray. I'm telling you, the prayer practice is wonderful, just getting in his presence and continue with him through the day. I want to encourage you. He knows you and he loves you, and you don't have to put on airs around him. He knows you. Just be yourself and approach him honestly, humbly, hopefully, and you know he's going to do something for you. I encourage you to do that. This morning you may have been praying about a church home. You believe God the Holy Ghost is leading you here. I'd encourage you to come this morning. Let's stand together with our heads bowed. I want to pray one more time. Brad will sing a song for us or lead us in a song, whatever God leads him to do. And I'll give a moment of invitation here this morning. I'd encourage you to come. Christians don't always lead the way. If you're here this morning, you've never been saved, I'd love for you to get saved this morning. Love to see you get saved. You've been praying about church membership. You know this is where God wants you. I'd encourage you to come this morning. Whatever God leads you to do. Heavenly Father, I pray now that you help men and women, boys and girls in the media audience and in this building to do what they'll be glad for all eternity they've done. Help them to listen and obey the voice of God. And I'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name.